This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Job description, teacher. The duties and responsibilities of a teacher shall include, but are not limited to, the following: to teach and educate students according to the guidelines provided by the National Curriculum Framework under overall guidance of an education authority, to teach and educate students according to education needs, abilities, attainment potential of individual students entrusted into their care, planning, preparing, delivering lessons to all students in the class, adopting, working towards implementation of school development, assigning work, correcting, marking work carried out by the students, assessing, recording, reporting on developing progress and behavior of students, ensuring high standards of quality of teaching, participating in in-service education and training courses, and it goes on and on and on, and it's enough to say that teaching is a very big job. It takes a special person to do it. But are teachers being properly compensated for all of their work, including a robust and reliable retirement plan with health coverage that you can count on? Call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @TPRSource. We're talking about who's taking care of Texas teachers. We're joined by Tim Lee. He's the executive director of the Texas Retired Teachers Association, Noel Candelaria, president of the Texas State Teachers Association, and Julie Chang is a staff writer for the Austin American-Statesman. And I'm going to read you a tweet I just got from Animals, a creative spelling. I taught for 28 years in Texas, and I wouldn't go back for anything. The Texas legislature has ruined nearly everything good about it, and corrupt boards and superintendents have done the rest. I have a full-time job to supplement my pension. I loved my students, but I am so glad to be free. Noel Candelaria, you're the president of the Texas State Teachers Association. Does that sum up the way a lot of people feel?
Unfortunately, it does, Dave. I mean, you know, not only just this year, but, you know, in the last 10 years, you know, with the increased demands that you just railed out in the beginning of your show, and now we're adding, you know, potentially arming teachers to that and having to carry weapons in classrooms. So teachers are overwhelmed. You know, they're overwhelmed. They feel underpaid, undervalued, underappreciated. And the direct impact that it's having to our students is what we forget about when we're talking about, you know, how our teachers are feeling, and the fact that in Texas we have one out of every three teachers now that has 5 years or less of experience. We lose half of all new teachers in the first 5 years, and it's getting harder and harder to get teachers to get college students to come into the teaching profession. You know, talking to colleges of education, they have less and less students every year enrolling in college of education programs, and school districts are having less and less student teachers, you know, that they're assigning to prepare them and get them ready to become teachers in our classrooms.
So as we have this hour-long conversation talking about the state of the classroom with teachers, I just don't want to end up just talking about, you know, kvetching about teachers and their jobs, but also trying to keep an eye on what are some actionable solutions? What can be done? And why does the general public need to be vested into this conversation? So, Noel?
Well, I mean, the main priority is our focus in this November election and ensuring that we're electing pro-public education candidates that are going to support and fund our public schools. Our public schools need the funding, not only to be able to pay our teachers the pay that they deserve, but also to provide them the support and training that they need to help them succeed in the classrooms. You know, more like I said, you know, with the high turnover in teachers, the number one reason teachers leave the classroom is lack of support, followed by the lack of pay. And so when we're talking about the lack of support, and we have, you know, more than half of all new teachers coming into the profession in Texas that are coming through an alternative certification program, which they vary from anywhere of, you know, 2 weeks of preparation or just get you ready to pass a certification exam, and then they put you in the classroom. That's not the support that our teachers need. And so we're putting teachers in situations in the most challenging campuses to work with some of our most challenging students that have various needs. And, you know, we're setting them up for failure when we don't provide them the support and training that they need to help sustain them, you know, throughout their career, and especially early on in their career when they need the most support. So, I mean, we need funding for public education from the state legislature so that our districts can not only provide the right support and training that they need, but like I said, also the pay to be able to offset the high demands of the teaching profession.
So Tim Lee, executive director of the retired Texas Retired Teachers Association. I mean, that is so complicated when we start talking about retired teachers' benefits, but it's so important. Is this really one reason why teachers will stay in the classroom is because they anticipate that they're going to get this robust retirement plan?
You know, I think that the value of having a retirement plan is certainly a reason people stay in the classroom. It's not as robust as many people think that it is. You can work for 30 years or more under a position in a public school and know that you will have no Social Security, because 95% of our school districts do not pay in the Social Security system. And the average retirement benefit is just a little over $2,000 a month. As a matter of fact, over 110,000 people in TRS today draw $1,000 a month or less in their annuity. So these benefits are very modest. They're provided at a low cost to the taxpayer. We have one of the best funded pension plans in the nation. And I think a lot of people who are in the classroom and who get past those first, you know, very important 5 years, as was pointed out, and they're going to be a career teacher, the value of having some retirement security is absolutely a reason and that we can keep people in the classroom and a reason they stay.
But not to get too far into the weeds, but we will. I understand that Texas is one of the states that does not comply with the California rule when it comes to viewing the teacher retirement plan as a contract. And also, it is only one of two states that views the retirement plan as a gratuity, as a gift from the state, and therefore it's not really seen as a contract. I mean, is that troubling to you, Tim Lee?
Well, I think it would be more troubling if more elected officials came into the legislature or ran on a platform where they wanted to try and take away the benefit. I think most elected officials give some recognition to that this is a promise that's being made. The fact of the matter is that people can put it all lots of different kinds of different classifications. But if you were talking to the federal, you know, people who are federal officials in the federal government, they would say, you know, in large part, this is a Social Security replacement plan. And so just making changes to a benefit that is guaranteed would be very difficult. But I don't believe legislators, by and large, come in thinking that they want to take benefits away. I think they look at this plan and they say, well, the future cost of these benefits are going to go up, and we may not want to make teachers that much of our priority to pay for the future cost of those benefits.
Okay, with that in mind, as I go towards this break, we have to remember, so if that's going to be true, then the state had better start putting more money into the plan today, or else there's going to have to be a big taxpayer bailout down the road, because I have to be concerned about what does this mean for health care benefits for retired teachers, as they're expecting them to pump more into the system and their resources are flat. And what does that mean for them? So we really want to hear from teachers about what do you think about your state of affairs, your finances, your future. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Al and Shannon will get you on the air right after this break. The Source continues. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Texas teachers and how they're compensated. One of them is their retirement package and how healthy that is. Recently, there were some minor headlines about how they had to adjust the expected return on the teacher investments from 8% to 7.25%. And some people might look at that and wonder, what does that mean? Why is this news? Why do I need to know this? Let's go to Julie Chang, staff writer for the Austin American Statesman. And can you help us understand why the general public and teachers especially should really be paying attention to the state of the return on those investments?
So under state law, the pension fund must be considered fully funded, such that, you know, over the next 30 years, all of the liabilities should be able to be paid off. And so by decreasing the rate of return, you're expecting that the pension fund will be making less money and the state would need to step in with even more money in order to sort of fully fund the pension fund. And under state law, the pension fund needs to be fully funded in order for retired teachers to get a boost in their pension. And so you're sort of seeing that difficulty or that challenge in order for teachers to retired teachers to see any sort of pension fund increase in the near future.
But this is a $147 billion fund. It's one of the largest in the country. You can't make risky investments with this money. This is going to be very locked in bond type stuff, which you're going to see returns of maybe 4 to 5%. How do they come up with they are going to expect 7.25% return?
Well, the pension fund board under the Teacher Retirement System of Texas based their decision on 11 different economic outlooks. So it's not like they willy-nilly came up with the decision one day, and they felt that it was more accurate to drop it from 8% to 7.25%. And you know, the employee retirement system sort of the parallel to the teacher retirement system, but for state employees, have you know already dropped their rate of return assumption as well.
Yeah, it's going around the country. All the pension funds are doing that. Let's go to the phones now, and Cheryl is on the line. Cheryl, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, thank you. I was just calling to say that when I first retired from driving a school bus after 30 years, I used to get $1,000 a month. And now, because of medical, I get around $350.
And so how do you make that work?
I got another job.
And so what do you want to see happen?
I need the medical to not be so expensive.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you for that. So let's go over to Tim Lee, Executive Director of the Texas Retired Teachers Association. And it's the retirement plan that I know a lot of people are very concerned with that, especially as there's a proposed increases for contribution for current and retired teachers, and also the expected the increases for other parts of the benefit plan.
Yeah, thanks. So first of all, I want to say to Cheryl, I think was her name, thank you for serving our schools and for driving a school bus for 30 years. I mean, these jobs need to be done, and I don't know that we can pay these people enough to really appreciate the service that they give. So, she's talking about her health care, and obviously health care costs are a problem that we all face. TRS has a health care plan that retirees can buy into, and they had more robust choices until this last legislative session. Those healthcare costs go up for TRS just like they go up for everybody. And eventually somebody is going to have to pick up the pay for those higher costs. The legislature, school districts, active teachers, and retired teachers all make payments into this thing. We'd like to see the state contribution towards this healthcare plan be significantly higher than what it is. The legislature has made some adjustments over time. A lot of time those budget adjustments are not part of the permanent budget. And so every year we're going back and asking for those dollars to be added back in. This last session, we did see some increases in the permanent funding, but healthcare costs go up, by multiples of percentages. And the revenue that we have to pay for this plan for our retirees is based on how much teachers get paid in the classroom. So the legislature has a formula, a certain percentage of payroll is what they appropriate to the healthcare plan. So we either need to have our teachers get paid a whole lot more money, which I'm certainly supportive of, or we need to increase the amount of revenue coming into this plan, because the payor of last resort when it comes to healthcare costs are going to be the retirees.
And we're seeing a higher number of retirees leaving the plan. Julie Chang, you wrote about that.
Yes. So most recent numbers from the Teacher Retirement System of Texas is that about 36,000 retired teachers and dependents have left the health insurance program this year. It's unclear. They're still counting and gathering information about interest from retirees and their dependents in the following year. But just to give a comparison, you know, in previous years, the number of retirees who have dropped out of the system has been about 1,500 or less per year.
So they can drop out of this plan and go into Medicare?
They can go into Medicare. They can go, or they can go find individual plans in the marketplace. Whether it be Medicare, if they're over the age of 65, if they're under the age of 65, they can find, you know, their respective plans, but in sort of the private marketplace.
But it's not like Social Security. So even though, I mean, they haven't really paid into Medicare, technically, I guess, and so, but they're still able to get into that plan. If it's better for them, because we're seeing increased deductibles, higher premiums, and also it's very difficult for teachers to find doctors who will take TRS care. So can you talk about that, Tim Lee?
Yeah, Dave, just to clarify that a little bit, every active teacher who's been employed by a school district in Texas since 1986 has paid into Medicare. We do have some employees who didn't change jobs after 1986, and they're in a different class, about 17,000 of those folks that are out there. But these people do pay the Medicare tax. So when you're over the age of 65, you have the option to take a Medicare plan in partnership with your TRS care plan. You know, in the private sector, when somebody has Medicare, they typically go out and they may buy a Medigap policy or a Medicare Advantage policy in the individual market. But for 30 years, retired teachers and active teachers have paid into the TRS care plan. And that's the plan that's administered by TRS. Some money's put into it by the state. And it's there because retiree annuities are pretty low. They're very modest. And so the state used its buying power to work with TRS to put together a group so that these retirees will have some financial stability with their annuity and some healthcare stability with a group plan that they could go out and buy. And it's that group plan that retired teachers are having to leave because the costs in that group have gotten higher than they can afford.
What about doctors who will take TRS care? Is that a problem?
It's a big problem for doctors. Some of the changes that went into the healthcare plan this last session, the doctors were told that they would only be able to, the retired teacher would only have a Medicare Advantage plan. And some doctors like Medicare Advantage plans, some do not. TRS utilizes their power to convince doctors to take the plan, but they don't have to. And so if your doctor says, I won't take your plan, then the retiree either has to change their, you know, medical professional or they have to find a different plan. And those are very, very difficult things. As you said, there are a lot of doctors who are just not taking new Medicare patients. And so you can find a retiree who had service before, but then tries to leave and find out that their doctor won't, you know, take them back, or they have to find somebody. It's just really difficult.
All right, let's go back to the phones with Sharon. Sharon, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Okay, so I am a home health nurse, and I've been doing this home health for 30 years. And when I came to Texas and I tried to start giving care, this is about 15 years ago, in the teacher retirement system, and realized that these poor people had believed that they were going to get a Medicare equivalent, and he is right about those 17,000 people out there who are stuck in that system. They can't get care. The reimbursements are too low, the insurance is too low, and they know that, but nothing is done to get these people care. And most of them are what we call overfunded, so they don't qualify for Medicaid. The ones that are really sad, though, are the ones that have these retirements and they do qualify for Medicaid. And that's really sad because they worked all those years. I have several nurses who've worked since they were LVN, so 19 years old, now they're 35. They're going and starting to come into the school system and want to stay in the school system and being told now that they're going to have to give up part of their Social Security. These are nurses who want to go and teach, and they really have a passion, obviously, for care because they've been caring for people for the last 20 years as nurses, and now they want to be teachers and continue this, but there's no incentive. And my husband, who's a retired military, he's retired from the Navy. Now he's going to go teach for Texas A&M and gets a letter from TRS that says, well, if you go and you teach full time, then at the end, if you decide to take a second retirement, you're going to have to give up part of your benefits. Why should he have to do that? There's no incentive. Like me, I've been a nurse for 30 years. I would love to go and teach, but I don't want to give up everything that I've earned.
All right, Sharon, thank you for calling in. I appreciate all that information. Back to Tim Lee, Executive Director of the Texas Retired Teachers Association. I mean, this is a furball of policies. it's spaghetti. How do you make sense of it all? How does an individual figure out, you know, I want to do this, but I don't want to jeopardize benefits that I have worked for?
You know, man, that was a great call. And, you know, from an elected official's perspective, they would argue that these policies are in place to prevent certain kinds of behaviors to happen that either weaken the Social Security Trust Fund or weaken the teacher retirement system.
Yeah, there was a thing a while ago where somebody who retired from teaching would take a job a little bit in the private industry for a while, rack up just enough Social Security to become vested in that, and then get a double paychecks, double checks in the end, right?
There are people that try to game the system, but in Texas,
you can't do that anymore.
That's correct. Our elected officials, in partnership with the stakeholders, have done everything we can to ensure that our TRS benefits are going to be there for the people as they pay into them. But the caller was right. There are many disincentives to discourage people from public service because of the way we coordinate our benefits with some of the programs that are either offered through other public service, whether it's military or the federal government, or just through independent work in the private sector and paying into Social Security. We have found more ways to keep people out of the teaching profession by disincentivizing them from going into it than we found ways to get better, you know, more people to come into this profession and stay in this profession and really earn good benefits and be proud that we as taxpayers have supported the best people in these positions. So it seems like we're swimming upstream here, and we're not making a whole lot of good progress.
And real quickly, Noel Candelaria, president of the Texas State Teachers Association, in about 45 seconds. Ken, is this a problem that you're seeing?
Yes. I mean, we actually, through the National Education Association, every congressional session help introduce legislation. Right now we have H.R. 1205, which is the Social Security Fairness Act, and the Equal Treatment of Public Servants Act, which is H.R. 711, that's sitting in committee in Congress, waiting for a hearing. And so, you know, this is something where we can contact our congressmen and women and urge them to sign on to this bill and sign on to these two bills to help move it along, because that loophole was closed in 2005, and it had a detrimental impact, especially it was in 23 states that it impacted. They're in the same position as we are in Texas. And we've been trying to push this, you know, every new Congress, you know, through the National Education Association, which is our national affiliate, you know, in trying to undo the what they call the government pension offset and the windfall elimination provision.
Okay.
That impacted 9 million hardworking Americans that earned All Social right. Security because they paid into Social Security.
Going back to take a break, the number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about who's taking care of our teachers on The Source. More when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about who's taking care of Texas teachers, and you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Recently, Governor Greg Abbott was quoted saying that he wants to see Texas teachers making $100,000 a year, but not just all Texas teachers, only those who are high performers. The governor's office said Abbott's plans to make teachers pay a priority in 2019 in the upcoming legislative session. Earlier this year, Abbott has called for top teachers in Texas to earn six-figure salaries, a wage that less than 1% of the state's educators are currently earning. Abbott did not say how the state would pay for the salary increases or whether or not he's expecting local school districts to foot that bill. How do you think Texas teachers should be compensated? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. James is on the line. James, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. I was calling because both of my grandparents were teachers, and they retired when they were about 60, and they had a pension of $3,000 a month each. And so they're bringing in around $50,000 to $60,000 a year from their pension. And they were always grateful for it. So my question is when you look at the total compensation that a teacher receives, you know, based on that they work about 10 months out of the year, based on the fact that they have a pretty good pension, considering pensions are disappearing, and then also based on the very low insurance rates they have while they're employed because of how big of their group is, I mean, what is that total compensation? Because it seems like it's a lot more than $50,000 and a lot more than the national average when you look at all those benefits.
Okay, first let's go to Tim Lee, Executive Director of the Texas Retired Teachers Association, and then we'll get a reaction from Noel Condoladia, President of the Texas State Teachers Association. So, Tim?
Yeah, I appreciate those comments. I think it's always good to have that dialogue. Teachers, in large respects, don't have, you know, over lucrative annuities, and I hope the caller understands that almost, you know, 95%, as I said earlier, 95% of our school districts are not paying Social Security. So these are educators that are putting their own salary dollars into a retirement system. That retirement system, as we as taxpayers, are making a contribution for that work, but this is their compensation. And so it's, in a lot of ways, people have to look at it as deferred compensation. So it's their money put away in a retirement system, and the retirement system invests those dollars. When they retire, they are promised a benefit, just like that gentleman who was calling in may have a Social Security benefit. So our teachers have given up Social Security. There's things that suggest we should be, you know, giving them more of that Social Security, which I agree. There are provisions that we can make better. But when you just look at the pension, this is deferred compensation. It's paid in, it's invested. They earn those dollars back. And most teachers today, their health care benefits, if they're getting health care benefits from the state of Texas through a program that's offered through the school district, that person may pay $1,000 a month just for the premium and then have a very high deductible to meet. So a lot of teachers, retired and active, are foregoing receiving medical care because they can't afford paying for the care after they've just paid for their premiums. So it's, I'm glad it worked out well for the gentleman's grandparents, and certainly our members are appreciative of their annuity, but it doesn't always look as rosy as what it could.
But what are they getting? Noel Condoladia, how do you express when someone comes in, I want to be a teacher, what kind of retirement package could I expect? And they want to sum it up in like dollars. What are they going to get?
Right. I mean, right now, like Tim mentioned earlier, I mean, the average retirement check in Texas for a Texas teacher is $2,060 a month. I mean, that's what they get. And when you look at the increasing cost of healthcare, that's why more and more teachers retired teachers are taking second full-time jobs after they fully retire. And so it's not an incentive right now in the state of Texas to actually make this a long-term career profession and stay in it for the long haul. I mean, it takes right now in Texas it'll take you 43 years as a teacher in Texas to earn 100% of what you were earning as a pension. Okay, and that's 43 years. The average teacher does not stay in the profession for 43 years, and so right now there is a shortage of teachers. There are teachers that are leaving the classroom, faster than school districts can replace them. And so it is an issue. Right now, the teachers are paying 7.7% of their paycheck into the TRS pension. The state puts in another 6.8, and the district's about another 1.5. And when we have a large number of teachers leaving the profession early on, and we have one out of every three teachers that in the state of Texas that have 5 years or less of experience, that's a lot less revenue that's going into the long-term health of the pension fund that is going to have a long-term detriment to the health of that pension. So I'm glad that his grandparents were able to retire with $3,000 each. That's not the reality of the average Texas teacher. If you're an administrator or a superintendent, when your average salary is 2.3% for every year that you were teaching, your average might be a little higher than the average teacher, but the average teacher in Texas is not retiring with $3,000. And so that's not including the cost of health care.
So let's go to our voicemail line. We put out a voicemail call over the weekend, and we got one here from Rose.
Hi, my name is Rose, and I work with special ed students. I'm a specialist, and we have not seen an increase in funds for special ed. And despite getting in trouble for not qualifying students for special ed, we're not doing anything to help those kids out. And we have an increase in students in special ed these days because we have lower infant mortality rates. They're surviving, but they're surviving with disabilities. And in order to meet their needs, we need more people to do those jobs. So I'm doing a caseload of about three times more what I should be doing. And there's several of us that are in this situation throughout this different specialties. We don't have a classroom, but we do see kids at multiple schools throughout the day, and we're expected to do this and provide minimal services to the kids just to see them and give them services. And that's not what I agreed to do when I began this profession. But I feel like I have to do it because that's what I do, and I want to help these kids. But in the meantime, I'm working 70-plus hours a week trying to do my job and not getting very much pay for it, and struggling to make my health care needs met. So that's my two cents.
And that was Rose on our voicemail line. Julie Chang, staff writer for the Austin American-Statesman. Rose works in special education, and that's going to be a focus in the upcoming legislative session because of a scandal that we had in Texas education where there was this artificial cap put on the number of a percentage of students that can be brought into special ed. And now, so what's going to happen in that area? Do you know?
I'm not terribly familiar with, you know, what's going on with special education in too much detail. But yes, as you said, there was a artificial cap that was put on the number of special education students in Texas and school districts. And so as a result, you're seeing a lot of kids who were not being identified as those who need special education services. And now with the state and the federal government intervening, there's going to be an increased number. And as that teacher has said, she has seen an increased number in the state. And Texas Education Agency has requested extra money for next biennium to help school districts fund the extra number of students who need those special education services.
So the long story short for Rose is that it's going to get tougher. There's going to be more demands put on the special education system in Texas as more students are allowed in, and the state is going to have to put more money in. The question is if any of that money is going to end up in the pockets of the teachers who have to do the hard work. Let's go back to the phones with Julie L. And Julie L., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I retired about 7 or 8 years ago from Houston ISD after 34 years. And I'm a native Texan. I knew going into teaching that I would not be paid much. And I also knew even then that Texas does not value public education. For the last 20 years at least, legislators have actively worked to weaken public education. They pass new initiatives and so forth, and they don't fund it. Or, you know, I don't believe for a second that Greg Abbott is going to do anything for teacher pay, and Dan Patrick has his mind elsewhere.
Well, we can't really get into political attacks on these individuals. I mean, Greg Abbott is promising that that's going to be a priority for him in the upcoming session, and you doubt that, but what would you like to see him do, Julie?
I would like to see him put his money where his mouth is, and it would be the first time ever, as far as I know, since Ross Perot worked to lower class size in Texas public schools. You know, not much has been done. Every year, teachers have to go lobby at the Capitol to save TRS because it is constantly under attack. Those funds are always at risk, and there's so many people that just really, you know, firefighters, police, you go into the job thinking, okay, I'm taking a low salary, but the state is going to take care of me in my retirement. That does not prove to be true. And, you know, we're just a lot of suckers who want to do.
Julielle, thank you for that call. You hear a lot of frustration in Julielle's call there. So Noel from the Texas State Teachers Association, in 45 seconds, what would you tell, help Julie deal with this stress?
Well, I mean, I think we can take that energy and anger into the ballot box, right, and making sure that we're holding all of our elected officials accountable. You know, going back to Rose, I'm a special education teacher, so I know exactly the impacts that that the lack of legislation and funding has had. I mean, the Individual with Disabilities Education Act, if actually funded as it's written in law, it would provide $33.5 billion as opposed to the $12 billion that is actually allocated in Congress. So Congress still has a lot to do to make up the $21 billion shortfall, which is going to help our districts provide the support in the classroom to hire the extra teachers' aides and the teachers
I got to take a break here. More conversation about Texas teachers when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. An email from Randall: retired teachers in Texas have had only one pay increase since 2001, and that was limited to a maximum of $100 a month in 2013. U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that prices in 2017 were 38.41% higher than in 2001. So Randall's point is that the increases that they have gotten have not kept up with inflation, that their salaries are flat while health premiums increase. And Noel Candelaria, these are people who are stuck in a squeeze. I mean, is that an assessment?
Yes, you know, that is exactly correct. The average teacher in Texas is getting paid $7,300 below the national average. And on top of that, you know, the average, you know, two out of every five teachers are now working a second job just to make ends meet. And so teachers are feeling the pinch. And with the increased cost of health insurance, you know, that's just adding more insult to injury, where teachers who are struggling just to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck, trying to provide for their own families, while also digging into their own pockets. You know, the average teacher is now spending, you know, I think over $700 a year on classroom supplies for their own classroom. So, you know, you add all that up, you know, it's impacting, you know, teachers every single day.
So is it true that under the most recent tax reform that was passed in Washington, D.C., that teachers used to be able to deduct that at the end of the year as a tax deduction, but no longer? Is that right, Noel Candelaria?
Right. I mean, it got sent, but it's $200, you know, and that's a $200 deduction, and it's not dollar for dollar. And so, you know, it was kept in there, but it's still nowhere near what the average teacher spends, you know, out of their pocket to help fund supplies for the classrooms.
Okay, back to the phones with Christina. Christina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, yes, thank you. I just was wondering, I know we have a lot of pressure on teachers and all that, but I want to know why superintendents aren't held more accountable. I live in Uvalde, and our superintendent just left. She'd been here for 6 years. She got numerous pay increases, and then she leaves Uvalde to go to Judson, I assume for more money, and Uvalde was rated with an F by TEA. I just find that unacceptable. I don't understand why teachers are having to scrape by while superintendents are getting increase after increase, but yet they are not held accountable. If a school district gets an F, that superintendent should not be allowed to leave that school district until they meet the standards by TEA. Thank you.
Christina, thank you for that call. I don't think we can give you an answer. An interesting comment in and of itself. Let's go to Christy. Christy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I happen to be I am a faculty member in higher education, but there was a time where I was in ERS, TRS. I don't think that those are two separate programs, but at any rate, when 20-something years ago, I decided to go ahead and roll out of TRS and go into ORP, and I was warned that if you leave, you can't come back. So it seems to me that if the legislature is trying to fill holes, potentially some of that could be addressed if they allowed ORP people to have the option of rolling back into TRS, or am I completely wrong? And by the way, it's no small irony lost on me that state legislators can double dip. Anyway, thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thank you, Christy. So Tim Lee, can you help me understand the alphabet soup, and what does that mean?
So there are two different state systems. You have the state employees retirement system. It is a different system than the teacher retirement system. And to add a little more confusion to the whole thing, you even have some groups like University of Texas, which operates under their own program. But for the large part, you have higher ed, you have junior college employees that are in TRS. And the reason that people who move out of the defined benefit plan into the optional retirement plan is that TRS says they cannot make up for all the years of contributions that were not paid in, mostly because of the earnings cost that the retirement system has been ensuring that they'll earn 8% on those investments. And so over the long term, if you have somebody coming into the system and then they roll out of it and then they want to come back, it creates a little bit of an actuarial problem for making up for the shortfall in the investments. There are public policy solutions to that. It does mean that the legislature would have to allocate more resources to make those things possible. You certainly probably can't get it all back, but there are public policy initiatives that could be done. But TRS tries to prevent that as much as possible because of the loss of income earnings on the contributions that are not made over a long period of time.
Now over to the phones with Octavio. And Octavio, you're on the air.
Mr. Davis, thank you for taking my call.
All right, Octavio, go ahead.
I have a question. Right before I retired, there was a deal where teachers that were retiring could work one day in a job that had Social Security, and they got all their Social Security. But I mean, that's in the past. Now, my question is, if I work 5 years in a job that pays into Social Security after I've retired, can I get my full Social Security back? I thought that was an option.
Okay, Octavio. Let's go back to Tim Lee. I think you might be best to answer this one.
Yeah, so the provision that he's referring to is called the government pension offset loophole, which was closed in 2004. And it said that if you worked under teacher retirement system and Social Security on your last day of employment, you would be exempt from the government pension offset. That is a provision that the federal government reduces or eliminates the spousal benefit if someone's spouse were to pass away and they tried to claim some of that spouse's Social Security benefit. It is true that if you work 60 consecutive months under the teacher retirement system and Social Security, you would be exempt from the government pension offset. You are not exempt from a provision called the windfall elimination provision, which is a provision that deals with a retired teacher's own personally earned contributions in the Social Security program. They're very complex benefits. They're very confusing. And so
if I was a retired teacher thinking mm-hmm. about going to work somewhere and wondering about how this would impact my future, could I call like the office of the Texas Retired Teachers Association and get some guidance?
Sure. You can call TRTA. I'm sure Noel is and his organization is happy to help. The teacher retirement system does not like talking about Social Security benefits with potential recipients because TRS says we can only have jurisdiction over their own benefits. They can advise to a certain degree, but to really get the true information on these things, I would suggest that people who are concerned reach out to either the Texas Retired Teachers Association or TSTA. We're happy to give you some advice and really give you questions that you need to ask and how to ask them and who to ask so that you get the right answers.
If you make the wrong call, could you do something you would really regret?
Absolutely, because you could get in contact with somebody at the Social Security Administration that does not understand or know about these provisions. They can give you advice one day, and then you could turn around and find out that the law affects you in a totally different way. And a best piece of advice I can give to anybody listening is if you get anything from the teacher retirement system or the Social Security Administration, you get those things in writing, because what somebody tells you over the phone or in an email, you know, it doesn't necessarily always get. You want an official statement from those groups so that you have a paper trail.
Let's go to the last call. This is Wendy. Wendy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just left Houston after 15 years as a Texas educator. What drove me out of the profession is what's driving many people out, not just the pay, but it is the lack of support from administration along with mandates from TEA and other outside sources dictating how we teach and not allowing us to use our best professional judgment to reach our students and move them along.
Wendy, thank you for the call. Noel Candelaria, I guess there are a lot of Wendys out there.
There is. I mean, there are a lot of Wendy's, which, like I said, which is why one within, you know, half of all new teachers leave within the first 5 years. And as I stated, and she said it perfectly, it's the lack of support. You know, teachers are overwhelmed with excessive paperwork, all the demands, you know, teaching to the test, and not giving the professional autonomy or respect to do, you know, what they were trained to do. And when we also have large numbers of experienced teachers leaving in record numbers, then our new teachers don't have, you know, the experienced teachers right next to them working alongside with them to help, you know, coach them and train them as they're entering the profession. And so lack of support, you know, has been the number one issue for years as to why teachers are leaving the profession. And ultimately, it's to the detriment of our students. When our students don't have the experienced teachers in the classrooms, it impacts, you know, students, especially in our poorest communities, right. Our hardest to staff schools. They're the ones that are having the highest turnover and the biggest impact of you know, in this instance.
Julie Chang, staff writer for the Austin American Statesman. So in your reporting, how big of a trouble is the Texas retirement plan in?
I mean, it seems like we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, but pension plans just across the board, other government pension plans across the board in other states are similar situations where, you know, you have long-term liabilities.
Yeah, if it's a game of comparisons, Texas is in pretty good shape compared to places like Illinois. But, you know, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you're a teacher looking at your future.
Right, exactly. And the legislature will have to make some difficult choices, difficult decisions, and how to address this. And, you know, we're not just talking about retired teachers. We're also talking about active teachers who also haven't seen an increase to their health care contributions at a state level.
And so the pressure will be on in the legislature to come up with some solutions, some tough votes for the lawmakers. And Noel Candelaria, president of the Texas State Teachers Association, you'll be lobbying them, I assume. Give me a quick answer.
Well,
yes? You're going to be up there?
We will be lobbying and working this November to make sure we elect the right people to actually lobby.
And Tim Lee, I want to thank you, Executive Director of the Texas Retired Teachers Association, who's taking care of our teachers today on The Source. Appreciate all the listeners and all the callers. Thanks for tuning in.